You're listening a Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
8 minutes after 9 Central African Time here in South Africa. I don't know what is the exact time in Australia, but of course, when we do cross over live to our beloved Habibi, mashallah, that is Haji Sheikh Safdar Parker from Perth, all the way from Australia. And yes, my beloved, beautiful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Our topic this evening with myself and of course Sheikh Safdar Parker will be on using prophetic guidelines for parenting in today's times. Who do we blame, my beloved, beautiful listeners of Markaz Sahaba? Is it the children? Is it the kids? Or is it we as parents? My beloved, beautiful, warm-hearted listeners. Yes, if whoever is tuning in, you can, inshallah, send us a message on 084-786-3132. You can, inshallah, send us a normal message on 084-786-3132 on our WhatsApp or to the international overseas countries, +2 784 786 3132. And we're going to be crossing over to our beloved brother who is Sheikh Safdar Parker, all the way from Australia in Perth. He is an imam, he is a Hafidhul Quran, he is the imam of Tonley Masjid in Perth. And of course, our beloved brother Sheikh Safdar Parker, who studied at the Darul Ulum Zakaria. He became a Hafidhul Quran here in South Africa, here in Johannesburg, in the Darul Ulum Zakaria. And of course, I also studied in Darul Ulum Zakaria. I don't know which year he qualified in Fariq. I will be asking him soon, inshallah. And where at the moment he is, where he graduated and where he is working at the moment, at the Australian Islamic College, Perth. He is a teacher there as well. And see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted our beloved brother Sheikh Haji Safdar Parker, who is a Hafidhul Quran. He is the imam of Tonley Masjid in Perth, and he is a teacher as well. So we're going to be crossing over live to him. And I know all the listeners out there, they are listening. Listeners from Johannesburg, listeners from Durban, listeners from Marlborough, listeners from the UK who are listening this evening, the listeners from Maputo, the listeners from Kimberley, listeners from Cape Town, listeners from Newcastle, and of course, listeners from Mauritius who are tuning and listening to the discussion this evening with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and our beloved brother Haji Sheikh Safdar Parker. Let's cross over live to him. Sheikh Safdar Parker, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, my dear brother Arafat?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. And you, my beloved brother, how's everyone? How's the family? How's your health? How's our beloved very good friend, your bosom friend as well, colleague, Sheikh Wa'il? And how's Australia? How's everyone in Australia, Sheikh Safdar Parker?
Alhamdulillah. Everything is fine here, alhamdulillah. But at the moment, if you're asking how's the hustle bustle of the city, at the moment it's 3:10 in the morning, so it's quite dead here at the moment.
Wow, subhanallah. What's the exact time right now in Australia? Is it 3 o'clock?
It's about 11 past 3.
11 minutes after 3. Wow. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Well, I want to thank you, and the listeners would love to thank you as well for giving us your time as well. I know it's early part of the morning there in Australia. Sheikh Safdar Parker, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you tremendously, tremendously. Inshallah. Ameen. And let's move
ameen,
on.
Ameen. Barakallahu feekum.
Ameen. Let's move on to our topic. Our topic this evening, brother Safdar Parker, is using prophetic guidelines for parenting in today's times. You know, I was reading something, brother Sheikh Safdar Parker. I was reading there are four types of parenting. I was reading this after I spoke to you this morning. One is authority. Second is democratic. Democratic. And the third is, it says here, laissez faire. And the fourth one is a neglectful parent. But anyway, many listeners are listening to you, brother Safdar Parker, and we're going to be, inshallah, interacting with the listeners as well throughout the world. Many, sure. Many, inshallah, ameen. So let's begin, inshallah, with this topic. Quickly, just just a small introduction about yourself, Haji Safdar Pak, G, my beloved brother.
Inshallah, I'll just mention a few facts about myself. Firstly, inshallah, I was born here in Australia. In fact, I was born in Tasmania, which is like a small island state of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably the quietest city, Hobart, out of all of the other capital cities in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I did travel to South Africa, in fact, and I was there for about 7 years from around 1998 to 2006.
Wow.
So I was there in 98 for 1 year, and then I came back in 2001, and I was there to 2006, where I graduated, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, in 2006 under very, very prestigious and auspicious teachers from the Darul Uloom Zakaria.
Brother Safdar Pak, who was your teacher in Darul Uloom? Because I qualified 1993, and my ustad was Kari Rashid Topia and Maulana Patel, Maulana Farooq Patel. I don't know if you do remember him.
MashaAllah, yes, of course I do. I remember Kari Rashid Topia as well. So Kari Rashid Topia was, he wasn't my teacher.
Okay.
However, my particular HIV teacher was Hafiz Farooq Mansour.
Yes.
In fact, I did my manzil, which is the revision that you do with another teacher towards the end, just you are almost finishing with your HIV. Mm-hmm. I did that with Hafiz Farooq Patel.
Yes. Subhanallah, you're actually bringing, you know, you're reminding me of the olden good days, the old goldies, subhanallah.
Mashallah.
Maulana Farooq Patel, mashallah. Let's begin the program because I see the questions are coming in, mashallah, on using prophetic guidelines for parenting in today's times. So let's begin, inshallah, with the question,
sure.
Which parenting styles did our beloved Nabi Kareem Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopt? Brother Safdar Pakka.
My dear brother Arafat, and also to the listeners, inshallah. What I'll just mention is just a basic principle the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted in bringing up his own children.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if we look at it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's actual parenting style with the majority of the children,
mm-hmm.
it's actually not recorded how he did that.
Mm.
So a lot of what we get is how he interacted with one of his most beloved children, and that was Fatima radiallahu anha.
Mm-hmm.
And this is only because Fatima radiallahu anha was still young
mm-hmm.
when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam became a prophet. His other children either had passed away or they had grown quite old
mm-hmm.
when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did become a prophet. So this aspect, you know, is not necessarily recorded in our history or in the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he did get married to Khadija radiallahu anha.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that history, from the time he was around 25, which is when he got married to Khadija radiallahu anha, till the age of about 40,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the, you know, in between time, it is actually not recorded in a lot of detail. So we will find very few, you know, dispersed incidents that will be recorded. But other than that, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was actually busy in his married life, in bringing up his young children, in having children, that part of his life is actually not recorded in a great amount of detail.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the guidance that we actually get is through his interaction with Fatima radiallahu anha, and a lot of it is with his interaction with his grandsons, like Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, and other children. So this is where we get most of our guidance
mm-hmm.
from with regards to how we bring up our children. And although there are a few examples to show us, we get a lot of, you know, overarching principles which we can adopt in our daily life. So just in brief, inshallah, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted in his teaching and in his upbringing is a lot of love. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed a lot of love, a lot of kindness, and a lot of mercy when bringing up young children. In fact, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not known to have ever raised his hand on anyone. Now this is amazing. Not raise his hand on anyone, leave alone children. He did not raise his hand on anyone else. The only time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hand physically against someone was in battle, right? So other than that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever raised his hand on any human being.
Allah,
so that's, you know, something amazing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did adopt kindness and mercy. So that was the overarching principle. Now, we can go into some few more details about, you know, some other guidance that we hear from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life and his interaction with young children. But the main one was kindness and mercy. The other one, perhaps, you know, that we can mention, and it is so important, especially in today's time, where, you know, we do have these rules and laws about, you know, not being able to hit and all of this, beating our children. So all of things come into play. You know, there is one very, very important principle which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, is to be good role models to young children.
Yes.
To be good role models to young children. And wallahi, if we truly adopt this in the way that it is supposed to be adopted, a lot of our problems will be solved. You know, subhanAllah, teaching our children the right values, the right morals, you know, just as an example, a simple thing like the salah. You know, many people ask this question of me here in Australia as well, that how do we teach our children to love the salah? Well, the easiest answer to that is we do our salah regularly. We show our children from a very young age that we actually love our salah by actually performing it, and by actually using salah as a tool you know, solve our problems the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. If we actually truly adopt that in our own life, our children will automatically see that. Our children will automatically see that. It is because we have neglected. So we want to teach our children the things we're not practicing ourselves. That's the biggest problem. So if we actually become true role models and show our kids how it's done, that's perhaps the best method of parenting. We do it ourselves, our children will automatically follow us. In fact, when children are young, it has been shown through studies that imitation is one of the best ways of teaching our children. And the only way that they can imitate good things that we want to teach them is by doing it ourselves, and doing it out of our own will and out of our own love for those particular actions.
I see, I see, Sheikh Safdar Park. There's a listener here. It's a youngster. His name is Muaz. He's listening to the program, and he says, Brother Safdar, I'm 20 years old. My father is a dictator. It says here, he's very strict. He smacks me, etc. But he is not a practical Muslim father. This is Brother Muaz. No. How do you solve this situation, Brother Safdar? I mean, the father is one side, and the father wants good for his son. But the father is strict. He's very strict as well. It's either my way or the highway. Gee, Brother Safdar.
I'd like to draw a little bit of a fine line between here. I mean, with regards to the question, mashallah, the youngster is asking this question. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. I'd like to draw a fine line here. There is an advice that we give to parents, and then there is an advice that we give to children. So the parents have certain responsibilities which needs to be given to parents, and then the children have certain responsibilities, and the advice needs to be given to the children. So the advice that we give to parents, we won't give to children, and the advice that we give to children, we won't give to parents.
Indeed.
Because each of them have their own role in that particular relationship. For example, the relationship between the father and the son, or the mother and the daughter, or the father and the daughter and the mother and the son, and so on. Mm-hmm. So they have their own roles, and we can't advise someone else about another party's role in that relationship. So what I'm going to do here, inshallah, mm-hmm. With regards to the question that this youngster has asked,
indeed,
I won't go into detail about what the father is doing wrong, or what the father has done, what the father should do. Mm-hmm. That advice needs to be given to the father directly. Now, what I can tell the youngster, inshallah, our brother Muaz, is this: that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked us to hold our parents in the highest regard. And you know what? Instead of, subhanAllah, giving advice from my own side, I will, inshallah, ask you to look at the Quran. Look at Surah Luqman. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son. And this is something which needs to be given to all children of all different parents throughout the world. So I will mention to you, inshallah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us with regards to how to, approach our parents,
yes,
and what is the responsibility of children towards their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, that وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. So if they strive and try their hardest to make you associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you have to remember that associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest sin ever. There's nothing greater than that. In fact, it is such a great sin that that's the only sin that cannot be forgiven by Allah unless someone repents for that in this life. So this is how serious this sin is. And this sin is so serious that if not repented for in this life, in the hereafter, there will be punishment of eternity. So this is everlasting punishment. And subhanAllah, it's such a serious sin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in fact telling us that if the parents try to make their children do shirk, associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Do not follow them in that. وَلَكِن, but, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Give them good companionship, do good with them in this life in the best manner possible. Do good with them in this life in the best manner possible. Now we have to remember that our parents will always have shortcomings. Now sometimes they might even tell us to do the wrong. Right? Sometimes that wrong might be as serious as shirk. And many times, in most cases, it won't be as serious as shirk. So what is our duty as children to our parents? Well, the things that they tell us to do which are wrong, we leave them aside.
Yes.
We don't follow them in that.
Mm-hmm.
However, we still have to behave in the best manner possible with them. We still have to behave in the best manner possible with them. This is our duty as Muslims. This is our duty as children, that we behave in the best manner possible with our parents. And no matter how they are, no matter what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
So it does not mean that we follow them in everything. It does not mean that we should behave like them. However, we should try and do the best towards them as parents, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them that status just by them being the means of us coming in the world. You know, some people say that, subhanAllah,
mm-hmm.
My parents didn't do this for me at this age. My parents abandoned me at this age. My mm-hmm. parents did this and, all of that. SubhanAllah, at the end of the day, they are our parents. They are the reason that Allah made. So Allah chose them. It is not someone else that chose them. It is not we that chose them. It is Allah that chose them. It is Allah that decreed them to be the means of us coming into this world. And Allah deemed that to be enough for us to be behaving well towards our parents. So again, let me be very clear. It does not mean that we follow them in the wrong. However, we should behave well with them at all times. We should behave well with them at all times. This is the guidance of the Quran, and this is the guidance of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we behave well with our parents, with our parents at all times. And we make dua for them. If they are doing something wrong, we make dua for them. If they are, yeah, if they are hurting us in some way or another, we make dua for them. It's not that we, we take the wrong from them, or if they are wronging us in a serious way, that we continue to take that wrong from them. No, we can take our measures to protect ourselves at the same time as well. No doubt, we can take those measures. But when it comes to behaving well with them, then we behave well with them. That is our responsibility as children. Mm. I hope that I have, covered this in, a brief amount of detail.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yes, definitely, definitely. Brother Safdar Parker from Perth, Australia. I see the youngster says, Shukran Jazila. This is Brother Mu'az.
Barakallahu feekum.
Ameen, Barakallahu feekum. We've got about in total about 11 questions from the listeners. There's another question here. Of
sure.
There's another question. There's a sister here who is 23 years old. I'm just reading the question. It's 23 years old. Her name is Safia. And she says, very very interesting topic, Maulana Arafat and Brother Safdar Parker. She wants to know, she says that my mother and I, we are not in talking terms because of the boy I like, Brother Safdar Parker. And she says here, why are our parents, they want to force us who we should get married to? This is Sister Safia. 23 years of age. So what do we do here, Brother Safdar? Do we go ahead? Of course, at the end of the day, it's my life. It's who I want to get married to. It's my happiness. It's not my mommy's happiness. It's not my father's happiness. So who do we guide here? Do we tell what the mother is doing it's wrong? Or do we tell what the daughter is doing of getting a boy it's right or wrong? Gee, Brother Safdar.
Barakallahu feekum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless my sister Safiya in her life, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make her issues and problems easy for her. Ameen. There are quite a few topics interlinked in this question.
Uh-huh.
The first of them is, of course, we have our children and our youngsters, not our children, but our youngsters today,
uh-huh,
that of course when they do reach a certain age, then they may, get an attraction towards someone, and that someone may be, someone who is, permissible for them, and sometimes it is someone who is impermissible for them. So what I mean by this is that sometimes the person that we, develop a liking for and develop feelings for, is a Muslim, and sometimes they are not a Muslim. So obviously, in the case where they are not a Muslim, then we are, prohibited from marrying such people in the first place by Allah,
yes,
subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Correct.
So I would, inshallah, try and answer this as succinctly and, in as short amount of time as possible, because
mm-hmm,
we can talk, in detail about this.
Indeed.
First of all, I want to mention right off the bat, and that is that it is true, it is true that the parents, although they do have some amount of say, and
yes,
when I do say that some amount of say, I mean that they have the right to advise their children,
uh-huh,
of who a suitable spouse will be for them. But let me also make it clear that it is ultimately purely the choice of the person that is getting married, whether it,
yes,
is the boy or whether it is the
girl.
Ultimately, it is the choice of the person that is getting married. So I want to make that clear right off the bat, inshallah.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, in today's time,
mm-hmm,
unfortunately, we have parents who go to the extreme and we have kids who go to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
We have parents who go to the extreme where, subhanAllah, they will have a specific ideal type of spouse for their child, whether it be a male child or whether female child.
Mm-hmm.
They will have an ideal type of spouse in their mind. Sometimes that might be governed by their background. So if they're Indian, they would want an Indian, for their son or daughter. If they're African, they would want an African for their son or daughter.
Mm-hmm.
If they are Arab, they would want an Arab for their son or daughter.
Correct.
And so on and so forth. And if that doesn't happen, then they will become extremely upset.
Mm.
So we have parents who go to this extreme. So we have been told, we have been instructed in the Quran and through the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not in these exact words,
yes,
but this is what we deduce from the different guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we have to make marriage easy. And especially in today's time, we have to make marriage easy. When we find so many haram relationships, and free mixing, and subhanAllah, the moral standards having lowered so much that it was never the case, the moral standards were never this low throughout history. But subhanAllah, we find ourselves in this situation today. So it is especially important that we make marriage easy in our society. And this is especially important for parents, that they should be trying and making marriage easy for their children. If, and in fact, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, and he tells parents, that إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. If someone comes to you, all right, if someone comes to you for your daughter, someone who, whose deen is good, and when we say deen is good, it doesn't mean it has to be an alim. That is a misconception, right? That some people think, it has to be an alim now, or it has to be someone who is praying tahajjud and doing, reciting Quran, most of his time, and he spends his time in dhikr. No, it doesn't mean that. It means he fulfilled his obligation as a Muslim. He fulfilled his obligation as a Muslim. The second criteria that is mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ is that if a person comes to you, asking for your daughter's hand in marriage, and this person, has the deen, number one. And the second thing is khuluq.
Mm-hmm.
Khuluq, meaning the character. Meaning the person is of a good character. The person will be able to look after your daughter. The person will behave well with your daughter. The same way that you as a father, consider your daughter to be precious, inshallah, that future spouse, the person who is asking for your daughter's hand in marriage, he will inshallah treat your daughter in a similar manner. Mm. He will consider her to be precious. All right? So if these two qualities are found, then go ahead with that marriage. Go ahead with that marriage. Get your daughter married to the person. If you don't do that, then there will be great chaos on the earth, as mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Illa taf'aluhu takun fitnatun fil ardi wa fasadun 'areeb. Fitnatun fil ardi, meaning there will be fitna, there will be trial, there will be hardship on this earth. And there will be chaos, which will be widespread. So when we make marriage difficult, when we stop our daughters from getting married, when they are happy with someone, and the person doesn't have anything wrong with them except that they are of a different caste or a different, different background, different ethnicity and different this or different that, but their deen is good and their character is good, all right? Then we are told to, go ahead with that marriage. Otherwise, there will be chaos on the earth. Otherwise, there will be trial and tribulation on the earth. And then sometimes, subhanAllah, parents realize after it's too late. After it's too late. So this is, my advice to parents in general, inshallah, and to the listeners. I know there will be parents listening as well. So this is a general advice to the parents.
So Brother Saftar,
marriage difficult for our children.
Brother Saftar,
and secondly, inshallah, an advice to the sister. Now, yes, sorry.
So quickly, how do you make the mother and the doctor to speak, since the daughter is saying that, since Sophia is saying that she and the mother, they are not on talking terms? because she doesn't want to accept it and the mother doesn't want to accept it. So how do you break that ice? How do you crack that ice for them to speak? Gee.
Yeah. So since inshallah the Safiya is asking the question, who in this case is the daughter, you know, inshallah I will pass her some advice, inshallah.
Yes.
And inshallah it will be of benefit. Obviously, since you know you are listening, yeah, Safiya, I would advise you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open my heart to give you the right advice.
Ameen.
And that is that you should take the first step, inshallah, as a daughter. You should take the first step. Go and speak with your mother.
Yes.
Try and show her, you know, the goodness in the brother that you are interested in. And firstly, also, make sure that the brother that you are interested in fulfills, you know, these two qualities mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So his advice is the best advice. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that deen. So is he fulfilling his responsibilities as a Muslim? So meaning, is he doing his five times prayers?
Mm.
Is he paying his zakah? Is he behaving well as a Muslim?
Allah.
Does he make sure that he speaks the truth? Does he make sure that he stays away from zina? Does he make sure he stays away from gambling? Does he make sure that he stays away from drinking? And does he fulfill, you know, his minimum responsibilities as a Muslim? Does he do all of those things? So make sure that he is doing all of those things first. Because nothing else is going to keep you happy in this world except the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that. And this is something, you know, which many youngsters fall into, that they think their happiness is in money. They think their happiness is in, you know, the person they love. They think their happiness is in the cars. They think their happiness is in wealth. They think their happiness is in a good job. Happiness is in none of these, no matter how hard you try. Happiness is only in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever you have problems in life, first look at your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there's something wrong with your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is what you have to solve, nothing else. No matter how hard you try everywhere else, your problems will not get solved. Remember that, my dear sister, inshallah. So firstly, make sure that the person that you're interested in is fulfilling his duties as a Muslim. Number two, make sure, inshallah, that his character is good. And please, please, please do not make the mistake of judging his character by the way that he treats you. Because the way that he might treat you at the moment, he might say the sweetest of words. He might say the sweetest of words. He might behave in the best of manner. But find out his behavior from others, and especially from his peers. That's the way you will find out his actual character. Because now he might treat you right, but once you get married, then it is a completely different story. And more often than not, when this is the case, you know, the marriage ends up in completely the wrong places. That's what I've seen from my experience. So either it will break down, or it will be such a toxic relationship that the couple just cannot stand each other. And my dear sister, I hope that, you know, you don't fall in this situation.
Allah.
So looking at the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, see his deen and see his character.
Indeed.
If these match up, and if these are up to standard, then inshallah, take the step to go and speak to your mother, inshallah. Speak to your mother and try and convince her about the virtues of this brother and why he is good for you, inshallah. And also, you know, we make the mistake as youngsters sometimes that we want our parents to be convinced in the first instance.
Mm-hmm.
No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you a child, has made you the child of your parents. That's the test Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Your parents are your test as well.
Indeed.
That's the parents that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for you. Right? So it is your responsibility now that you should, inshallah, come to speaking terms, number one. So do not be on non-speaking terms at all in your life. Never ever do that with your parents, because that is going to bring you difficulties in this life, believe me, my dear sister. So
Allah,
at least be on speaking terms, at the minimum at the minimum. In fact, we have been told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very famous hadith, that for, let alone a parents, any Muslim that we stay away from for more than 3 days, then fire is written for them, fire of Jahannam. So we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
We are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Muslims. So parents should be the last people that we stay away from. Last people, no matter how they are.
Yes.
No matter how they are. It's not that we take the wrong from them, but no, we at least are on speaking terms with them. We at least behave well with them. And we bear patience with their nonsense. Sometimes they will behave in a manner which is not befitting a Muslim as well. Our parents are not perfect. We are not perfect.
Mm.
So how do we expect our parents to be perfect? So when they do behave inappropriately towards us, we behave appropriately back towards them, inshallah.
Mm.
And perhaps, inshallah, Allah will show them guidance, you know, through our actions. So why can't we be a means of the guidance for our parents if they are indeed behaving in an incorrect manner or in an inappropriate manner? So the advice is, my dear sister, inshallah, go back to your parents, go back to your mother, you know, speak with her, inshallah. Firstly, make sure that this person fulfills the criteria set by Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then go and speak to your parents. And perhaps not the first time, maybe the first time she won't be convinced. Maybe the second time she won't be convinced. Maybe the third time she won't be convinced. But that's the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on your shoulders. Right? And this is definitely for our khair. This is definitely for our good. And this is definitely for your good as well. And secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the system of a wali as well for us. The system of a wali. Where, you know, someone who is a representative on our behalf, and in most instances where the father is there, then it will be the father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this system where, you know, this permission needs to be given by the father, which we sometimes trivialize today. We don't see the importance of it today. But subhanallah, my dear sister, if we look at the statistics of where love marriages end up in more often than not, is that they end up in divorce.
Allah.
That they end up in divorce. This is the case in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a fact this is the case in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a fact this is the case in most open and liberal countries in the world. These are hard stats. Hard stats. Go and look at the stats. Where love marriages end up. Go and look at the stats. So it's not that, you know, if you love someone, that's the way that, you know, you're going to be happy and, you know, that marriage is going to be successful. No, it's not that at all. The only way that a marriage is going to be successful is if you obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the way that our relationships are going to be healthy and our relationships are going to be successful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this system. And we have to believe as Muslims that this system is for our own good. It's for our own good. All right, so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your situation easy, my dear Safiya.
Ameen.
Go back to your parents, inshallah. Explain to them, firstly, you know, measure this brother upon the criteria of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After you're happy with that, then go back to your parents, inshallah. Try to convince them. Try to convince them once. Try to convince them the second time. Try to convince them the third time. This is your test. And inshallah, this test, inshallah, may be the means to Jannah. How do you know?
Definitely.
It may be your means to Jannah.
Allahu Akbar.
Your difficult parents might be your means to Jannah. So we don't know which action of ours Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with.
Allahu Akbar.
So do not think this as a bad thing for you. Rather think of this as a good thing for you, inshallah. Think of this as your struggle. Think of this as your mini jihad. Think of this as your trial, as your test. And then, inshallah, go ahead with it in the right manner. But make sure that this person is the right person according to the criteria of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and go back to speaking terms. Because if you are not on speaking terms with your parents, there will be no barakah in our life at all, and especially in our relationships, especially in our marriages, there will be no barakah, no matter how hard we try. All right, so please remember this, my dear Safiya, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make things easy for you.
Ameen.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a healthy relationship, a healthy marriage, a good and happy marriage.
Ameen.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only guide you, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, our parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide your parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give them the right understanding. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you success in this life and the hereafter. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our shortcomings.
Ameen.
I hope that inshallah answers the question.
I just love the way that Hafiz Safdar Parker says that no matter what you do in life, that's your mom, that is your mother, that's your father, that's your parents. You know, Nabi Kareem Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that you should always get du'as. Yes, get always du'as from your parents. So, Safiya, I hope our beloved Hafiz Safdar Parker answered that question. And I hope, inshallah, you will make up with your mommy. I know they say love is blind, you know. Love is blind when you are in love. You know, Hafiz Safdar, they say when you're in love, that's it. Khalas, kulu khalas. But anyway, listen, this is a beautiful, mashallah, beautiful program. Many listeners are sending messages. Unfortunately, I won't be able to ask all the questions to our beloved teacher, our beloved Hafizab Safdar Parker, all the way from Australia, who is in Perth at the moment. So we're going to try, inshallah, maybe some other time we will be having this program again, maybe in a month's time again, or in 2 months' time again, inshallah, if our beloved brother, if he is available. There's another question coming here, and I'm going to debate what my beloved Hafizab Safdar Parker, we're going to debate with each other here. This is from UK,
sure.
Yes. This is from UK. It's Ummi Saliha from UK. She says, very interesting, informative program. She says, Brother Safdar, Sheikh Safdar, how do I guide my son who's involved with bad company? He smokes, he drinks, he is a womanizer, he gambles, and he says, Mommy, an apple doesn't fall far from the tree. He says, Daddy used to do it. Why can't I? And Ummi Saliha says, Brother Safdar, that the youngster's daddy, meaning her husband, he's changed. He is, of course, whatever he was in the past is the past. But he's a tablighi, he's a jamaat, you know, who goes out in the path of Allah. So she wants advice from you. What wrong is she doing as a parent? Because the son tells her that, Mommy, an apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I mean, who do you blame here, Brother Safdar? Do you blame the father because he used to do whatever he used to do? Or do you blame the son because he witnessed it? Ji Hafizab.
Jazakallah khair for the sister, Ummi Saliha, is it? Ummi Saliha?
Ji, Ummi Saliha from UK.
Ummi Saliha from UK. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your situation easy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide you and your family and your husband and your children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your situation easy.
Ameen.
Firstly, my dear sister, we have to remember one thing, that when a person reaches the age of puberty, they become responsible for their actions. Unless, of course, they are insane. But otherwise, as long as their mind is normal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are responsible for their actions. So, yes, when a child is young and when the child has not been given a good upbringing, yes, perhaps you can, advise the parents. Perhaps you can put a little bit of blame on the parents. There is no doubt about that. But once the child has reached the age of puberty, and in this case, I'm assuming that the child is well over the age of puberty,
indeed,
then they are responsible for their own actions. So, they cannot blame the society. They cannot blame parents. They cannot put the blame on others. Because this is, in fact, the way of the shaitan. Because on the day of Qiyamah, people will put the blame on the shaitan, that the shaitan told me this. But the shaitan will say that, but I just told you, I didn't ask you to follow.
Yes, correct.
I didn't force you to follow.
Mm.
I just showed you this, but I didn't force you to follow this. In fact, this conversation is mentioned in Surah Ibrahim.
Mm.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, that these kind of excuses do not work in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So firstly, I'd like to say straight off the bat that once a person reaches the age of puberty, they don't have any right to blame anyone else. It is their actions, and they will be answerable for their actions in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this blame game will not work in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first thing, inshallah. Second thing, there is no doubt that every single parent makes mistakes. Every parent.
Correct.
I'm a parent as well, alhamdulillah, to four children currently.
Ameen.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of our children.
Ameen.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of them from the evil eye.
Ameen.
So no doubt that every single parent has shortcomings. Every single parent has shortcomings. So sometimes we do realize later on that, you know, perhaps we could have done this differently. Perhaps we could have done that differently. Perhaps this was a shortcoming in me. So this is something for the parent themselves to, you know, inshallah, try and rectify. And, you know, whenever they do get a chance with a little child, then, you know, they try and fix their mistakes that they made perhaps with another child. And of course, every intelligent person is able to analyze themselves and know what their mistakes are, inshallah. Having said that, when a child does reach the age of puberty and he does become a little bit older, in teenage years or past the teenage years, the way to parent at that time is different to how you will parent when the children are young. And when the children are young, not reach the age of puberty, telling them what the right thing is works a lot of the time. And of course, being the role model, that is the best method of parenting. However, other than that, even telling them directly that do this or do that, it works with young children. But it does, this same method of parenting does not work with older children. So when a child reaches the age of puberty, if they're still living with you, then, you know, telling them do this, do that, being dictatorial or being authoritarian, that style of parenting doesn't work at that age, especially in the environment that we live in. At that time, you have to be a friend to your child, and you have to be a companion to your child. You have to share with your child, and your child has to be comfortable in sharing with you. And then you have to give advice to your child. All right, so that's the type of relationship that should be there when the children are old. And this is still applicable when the children are at an age where, you know, they are, you know, staying on their own, or they do not live with the parents anymore. So the child should be open, and this is the responsibility of the parent, that they make themselves open to their child. That the child should feel comfortable. The parent should make that effort to create an environment where the child feels comfortable to open up to their parent. They feel, comfortable in sharing with their parents, and vice versa.
But can I stop you there, Hafizab? But some parents,
sure.
I don't know, just rectify me, correct me. Some parents, they sit and they listen music in front of the children. They smoke in front of the kids. While the azan is going on, the television box is on. I mean, I don't know. You set a bad example to the kids already. So, I mean, this child is only 17 years old. Umi Saliha says her son is only 17 years old, and he witnessed the father doing wrong, the father getting involved in drugs, whatever. So I don't know. Who do you blame, Brother Safdar?
So it's good not to blame people. So this thing of blame game is not really good.
Indeed.
But of course, we can analyze actions.
Yes.
In order to gain lessons from it and then to rectify the actions.
Uh-huh.
But you know, the blame game is not always productive. It's not always productive. It's never productive.
Indeed.
Blame game is never productive. In fact, each person will have a shortcoming, and they should rectify their own actions. So there is no doubt that parents who set a bad example for children, this is one of the most detrimental things in the child's upbringing. It's one of the most detrimental things. So if, for example, we want our child to pray, we tell our child to pray that, hey, you should pray on time. You should do this on time. You should pray properly. You should have concentration. But the parent subhanAllah, when the time for salah comes, you know, but I still have to do this, I have to go to the toilet, I have to eat first, I have to do that first. So the child can automatically see that the parent is not prioritizing prayer. So where is the child going to prioritize prayer from? Mm. You understand what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Sometimes we say that, you know, a Quran is more important than anything else. But subhanAllah, you know, the parent, how many times do they read the Quran in the day? How many times do they look at the instructions in the Quran? Mm. How many times do they try to understand the Quran? Mm. I'll give you a very simple example. You know, we stress on our children mm-hmm. in today's time. Most parents stress on their children the importance of learning math, the importance of learning English, the importance of learning social studies, mm-hmm. the importance of learning science, because it is important to get a good job, because it is important to get this and that. It is important to go to school. We stress on our child the importance of these things, of going to school and these core subjects, supposedly core subjects in school. And then we also like to add in sometimes some parents who have a little bit of consciousness of the religion. Mm-hmm. We also like to add in, you know what? Quran is the most important book. Quran is the most important book. But do we teach our children the Arabic mm-hmm. language? Do we teach our children, do we put the importance of learning the Arabic language as parents as well? Maybe we didn't have the chance when we were young, but do we even take that step to learn the language of the Quran, let alone the tafsir and the understanding of the Quran? But have we even made an effort to just learn the language of the Quran, where we place so much importance on English that every child has to know English? All my children should be able to speak English well. They should be fluent in English. They should be able to write reports. They should be able to write essays and whatnot. We place so much importance on English. Have we placed a similar, if not a greater, importance in the Arabic language? No, most parents haven't. Most parents haven't. Then you know what? When we say that the Quran is important, it's like an empty statement. We haven't even given enough importance to the language of the Quran, let alone the Quran itself.
Mm, Allahu Akbar. Mm.
We haven't even learned the language. We haven't even taught our children the language. So it is so important that we set a great example. What we are saying, it should be in our actions. And if it is not in our actions, then our parenting is wrong. We are not doing good parenting. Mm. And more often than not, our children will not understand the benefit of what we are telling them. They will know that these words are empty words. They won't say it, but they will understand that these words are empty words. You know, when the soccer match is going on, for example, mm-hmm. Salah time comes. Mm-hmm. We tell our children, Salah is important, most important thing. This is, you know, when you have difficulty, it will help you, and all of this. These are empty words. When, for example, Salah time comes, soccer match is going on, Manchester United, Liverpool, whatever, these matches are going on, and subhanAllah, we give that preference over Salah. Instead of going to the masjid, we say that, you know, once the halftime comes, we'll perform the prayers at home. Mm. So this kind of attitude, subhanAllah, the children are going to see that the Salah is not important. Even if we say, Salah is important, write 100 lines, Salah is important. Well, if in our actions, this is what is showing, our children will know Salah is not important. Mm. You understand what I'm trying to say? Mm. So it's important that, you know, parents take this greatest guidance from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is to be the best role model. Role model, and being a role model, and giving our children something to imitate. This is probably the best method of parenting. And if my listeners, if your listeners, inshallah, can take something from today, then take this, inshallah.
Allah.
If you want your children to be Muslims, you be good Muslims. If you want your children to love the Quran, you show the love to the Quran.
Allah
for the Quran. If you want your children to love the Salah and be regular in Salah and give Salah the priority over everything else, then you give Salah the priority over everything else. If you want your children to, you know, do dhikr and to always do dua in difficulty, then you show them that. You show them that with sincerity. Your children will automatically do it, inshallah, more often than not.
Allahu.
So this is perhaps, you know, the greatest advice that I can give your listeners, inshallah. And I hope this benefits all of us, firstly myself.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. I see time is up already. It's 2 minutes after 10 here in South Africa. So what I'm going to do, inshallah, the listeners, they're asking for your email address, Brother Hafiz Safdar. If you'd love to give it on the airwaves, Hafiz Ab. Hafizab, are you there? Oh no, don't tell me we lost him. I think we lost our beloved brother Safdar. Just try to get hold of him quickly, brother Lukolu. Hafizab, are you there with us? Hafizab? I think we lost him there. The listeners want his email address just to contact him. So what I'm going to do, inshallah, maybe perhaps if we can't get hold of him, I will get his email address, and maybe inshallah tomorrow morning on our program Safina to Ila al-Jannah, we will inshallah give his email address to all the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But nevertheless, Jazakumullah khairan for interacting with us, for listening to the program. Many, many listeners were tuning in. I've got many questions as well. I've got somebody from Lanesia. I've got somebody from Boxburg who actually posed a question and said, Malana, very, very interesting topic. Somebody from Maputo as well. This one says, Malana, you should have started this topic at about 8:30. Yourself and our beloved brother Safdar Pak, all the way from Australia. But inshallah, of course, in another month's time, we will be having him back on the airwaves live again, inshallah, with part two of this program, because many, many listeners are tuning in, listening, and sending questions. We're going to love you and leave you on this beautiful night of the night of Jummah. We will be seeing you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. With our program As-Safina to Ilal Jannah, from myself and all the listeners out there, and brother Lekolo, Allahumma hadina wahdibina wahdina sajamiya. See you guys tomorrow morning on As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. From myself, do we have him back? Okay, are you there, brother Safdar? Are you there?
Yes, I am. I don't know what happened. I don't know why.
We just lost you there. Sorry about that. We lost you. Okay, time is up, Hafizab. So what I'm going to do, inshallah, maybe in a month's time, we will contact you again and we will follow this program with part two. But just to all the listeners to all the listeners out there, they would love to have your email address if you would love to give it on the airwaves, Hafizab.
Sure, inshallah, sure.
G.
So it is S-A-F-D-A-R. PARKAR at gmail.com.
Okay. That's SAFDARPARKER at gmail.com.
AARKAR, A for Apple.
KAR at gmail.com. Jazakumullah khairan. Hafizab, Jazakumullah so much for your time. I know it's a very early part of the morning there in Australia.
I mean,
inshallah. Just a quick word from your side. A short and a small message to all the moms, to all the dads, to all the youth out there, inshallah, before I leave you this evening.
Inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Firstly, inshallah, my dear parents, and this is a message to the parents, inshallah. Parenting is about making the effort, all right? And at the same time, one thing which I did not mention and did not touch on, but I want to mention it as a final message, inshallah, and that is that don't forget to make dua. Because ultimately it is the dua, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things happen. So He will guide or He will misguide. So it is all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how good your kids are going to be, what your kids will achieve, it is all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So along with effort, do not forget the dua. When you are going through difficulty in regards to your relationship with your children, then turn to dua. Make the effort in trying to rectify it, but at the same time, make sure that you make dua. Make sure that you raise your hands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember to wake up for tahajjud. Remember to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks and makes this announcement that is there anyone who wants to ask of me?
Allah.
This is in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So get up at that time. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are but tests. These are trials. Trials and tests in our relationships, they will come. They will come. They came ultimately to, you know, the prophets. And who can blame the prophets of not good parenting? No one can blame the parents of not doing good, the prophets of not doing good parenting. So even, subhanAllah, people like Nuh alayhi salam, he had a son who, you know, ultimately died as a disbeliever. But no one can blame Nuh alayhi salam, because he would have definitely done his job. Similarly with Lut alayhi salam, he had a wife and a son who, you know, ultimately died as disbelievers. Who can blame Lut alayhi salam? In fact, Lut alayhi salam is mentioned in the Quran, praised in the Quran, but who can blame him of not giving the message, of not doing good parenting? No one can blame them. So sometimes, yes, there are, people who are rotten. There are children who are rotten. Mm. And it is not because of the parents. Sometimes it is purely because of the child. The parents have done everything. So, yes, sometimes these type of tests also come. But, of course, more often than not, there may be some shortcoming here and there with our parenting. And inshallah, we should try and recognize those and try and rectify them, along with making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is of extreme importance.
Inshallah.
I leave you with this, inshallah. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our shortcomings. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all success in this life and the hereafter, and raise us in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ameen, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan, Hafiz Saab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with you, always protect you, always don't ever make you muhtaj of anyone, inshallah. And
Ameen.
Of course, Latin Sani fi du'aik, we will meet again, inshallah.
Wa antum kadhalik, wa antum kadhalik. Barakallahu feekum. It will be good to meet you sometime, inshallah.
Inshallah, wa anta kadhalik, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, that's Hafiz Saab, Safdar Parker, Hafiz Saab from Australia, all the way in Perth. I'm going to love and leave you. See you tomorrow morning on our program, As-Safinatu ila al-Jannah. From myself, Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ahdina sa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.